Friends, good morning. It is a pleasure to see you, and we thank you for your attendance here today. You are most heartily welcomed here. We hope you feel at home here. There are cards in your order of worship, our connection cards. We do ask every week that everyone here fill those out, name and address, and later in the service, on the other side of that card is opportunity for everyone to indicate some possible new step they wish to make with reference to this church or with reference to faith and life. Those will go into the offering plates at the end of the service. Please be mindful that next Sunday begins Holy Week. And please bear in mind that there are opportunities for our gathered worship in that very sacred time. On Friday, Good Friday of that week, we will have a community worship service in which we join next door at First United Methodist. Other churches are also involved. It's a an hour and a half event with three 30-minute sessions. You can go to all of these or just one. First Baptist Church does the last 30 minutes. Our choir will sing and Stacy will preach. And on Friday night at 8 o'clock in this room, our Good Friday Tenebrae service, reading of scripture, the offering of meditation, the growing darkness in the room, and important prayers to offer. Other announcements are in your order of service. Please take a look at these. And now Bonnie Kidd has an announcement to make.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. There are a couple special events coming up that I wanted to alert you to. They're going to be in the e-connection, but some of you don't look at that, or maybe hopefully you read the newsletter, but just in case you don't. This coming Saturday at 2 o'clock, here in this sanctuary, Sam Kidd is giving his junior recital from University of Michigan, and he's going to do some really wonderful music culminating in the Vaughan Williams Songs of Travel on the second half of the program. That recital starts at 2, and there's going to be cake and cookies afterwards, so we would love to see you at that recital. His pianist is going to be here from University of Michigan, and it's going to be a wonderful singing event. And then on Sunday, April 23rd, so this is the Sunday after Easter, there is a special event that's going to take place here in the sanctuary at 4 p.m. It's called A Concert for a Cause, and we join with Northside Church Community, and it is a concert that is free. Donations are accepted for an organization that we are supporting. So we hope you will come to that. The First Baptist Sanctuary Choir is going to perform on that concert the Vaughan Williams Mystical Songs, and Sam is the baritone for that, with string quintet and pianist Catherine Goodson from University of Michigan. So we hope that you'll be able to make that 4 o'clock concert on April 23rd, because if you have not heard you will hear the mystical songs, because the choir is singing two movements of it on Easter, and the first and the last movement of the five songs, and we're doing that one with organ accompaniment. But it's really orchestrated, so the 23rd is going to have an orchestral accompaniment with it. So we hope that you will come and share in that Concert for a Cause and hear some amazing music. And there's other artists. Shanae is also performing a piece on organ, and some other artists as well. So please do come to those two events, as well as Paul said, the Tenebrae service is truly one of my favorite services of the whole year of this church. So we hope that we'll see you on Good Friday at 8 o'clock. Thank you.
Now will you join me, please, in the responsive call to worship? Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Thank you.
Will you stand if you're able, please? Gracious and loving God, you have brought each of us here on this glorious spring day for a purpose. Help us to unplug ourselves from the world outside and tune into you. Open our hearts that we might love you more deeply, and open our minds to understand the message you have for each of us to receive in this hour, on this day, and always. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble.
Those who know your name, O God, put their trust in you, for you have not forsaken those who seek you.
Sing praises to the Lord. Declare God's deeds among the people. The needy shall not be forgotten. The hope of the poor will not perish forever.
Thank you.
Words from Psalm 130. Out of the deeps I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Be attentive to the voice of my pleading. Lord, if you should mark our iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in God's word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with God is great power to redeem. It is God who will redeem us from all our iniquities. The word of the Lord.
During the season of Lent, we pray in the name of the one whom we hunger for and the one who hungers for us. After I pray the words, "Fill us," I invite you to pray with me aloud. We hunger for you, O God. Open our eyes, our hearts, and our hands to your presence. Help us see both our needs and our blessings in the light of your truth. With your Spirit, fill us. We hunger for you, O God. We pray for one another, for our families and friends, through whom we learn to love and to be loved. Thank you for all who care for us. Give us grace to serve Jesus by serving our neighbors and our community, loving others as he loves us. With your grace, fill us. We hunger for you, O God. We remember with gratitude your many gifts to use in creation. Help us and people everywhere to share with justice and peace the resources of the earth. Give wisdom to those in authority among us and to all leaders of the nations. With your peace, fill us. We hunger for you, O God. We thank you for the unfailing love you hold out to everyone in Jesus. Comfort and heal those in sorrow, need, sickness, or any trouble. We lift up to you John and Anna Moyer, Ginny McKeachy, Juanita Dearly, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Wally Jordan, Saw Charlie, Logan Sweet, Sadie, Dottie Kessler, Emily Wright, Lori, the Jones family, John Wallace, Talasha Moore, Kim and Jason Weaver, Tim and Felicia McDonald, Kay, Bob and Barb, Joan Blunt, Tim and Ripple Lee, David, Valerie, Claudio, and Terry Anderson. Give them courage and hope in their distress and bless those who minister to them. With your healing light, fill us. We hunger for you, O God. We pray for your church throughout the world. By your Spirit, strengthen your people for their work and their witness in the world. Unite us in your truth and love, that we who confess your name may also reflect your glory. With your life, fill us. We hunger for you, O God. As we make our journey through this Lenten season, go before us. Stay beside us. Be within us. We pray in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Amen.
If you're able, will you please stand for the reading of the Gospel? When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." The word of the Lord. And now I would like to invite the children to come forward for time as children with Zan.
Good morning. Two of the readings we heard, one that Pastor Paul shared with us, one that Julie read, talked about waiting. Can you tell me some things that you have to wait for? What are some things you have to wait for in your life? David? Wait for a phone. You have to wait till you're older for a phone, okay? Yeah, Alexandra. Ooh, to go into the Colosseum. Okay. Manuel. For your turn to play on the computer. Okay. Can you think of some things that you don't have to wait for? Something you don't have to wait for that you get right away. Genevieve. Ooh, you get older every day. You don't have to wait too long for that. You get older each day. Good, Alexandra. What's something you don't have to wait for? Ooh, snacks. If I'm on my game, Piper doesn't have to wait for a snack in the car, I have it. If I'm on my mothering game. Yeah, so sometimes I don't have to wait for a snack. Okay, Amanda, can you think of something you have to wait for? Jimmy John's. You don't have to wait for Jimmy John's. You know, I was thinking about that. Asher. You don't have to wait. Yeah, church starts on time. That's right. You don't have to wait too long for church to start. So I was thinking that actually this idea of waiting is kind of hard and that we have a lot of things that come to us right away. Like if you want a movie, you go on Netflix on your TV and there it is. If you want a sub sandwich or you want a pizza, you go to Jimmy John's or you go to Little Caesars and whoop, there it is. You don't even have to wait to open the car door. Sometimes you can just push a button and the car door opens for you. I was thinking that with all of these things, sometimes it's hard then to wait. To wait. But our psalm says today, "I wait for you." Logan, will you come join me? Logan, come join me up here. Sometimes it's hard to wait, but my soul waits. And I thought, you know, sometimes it's hard to wait for grown-ups, and sometimes it's hard to wait for friends taking your turn, and sometimes it's hard to wait for God. Thank you, Logan, for coming back with us. I want to teach you a song that I use when I start feeling restless, like, come on already. Then I sing this song that helps me get my heart and my mind to be patient and to be focused in my waiting. And you have heard this song because I've now sung it with you before. It involves your hands, so can you get your hands ready? We're going to sing Be Still and Know. So can you show me, Logan? And Sky, can you do it? Here we go. It goes like this. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that
Let us pray together, please. O living God, may now your living word be spoken and heard and received and lived through Christ our Lord. Amen. I wonder if there is anybody here who cannot connect with the first five words of Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry. One way or another, we've all spent some time in the depths, some a great deal longer than others, some a great deal darker in the depths. There are many forms of it: grief, guilt, anxiety and terror, loneliness, the shadow of death, depression, agony over somebody you love, anguish for how insane our world has become. How many pathways lead down to the depths. The word itself, the depths, is used in the psalm as an image pertaining to the deeps of the sea. To be sinking, into the dark and cold waters. The cavernous void pulling you down as you're covered over. The panic that you know. The not visible signs of having any way back up to the surface where you can breathe again. Out of the depths I cry. But down in the depths, you don't cry with words. Only with desperate, struggling, groaning. What the psalmist knows is that the groaning can be directed to God, who abides in the depths. And who is able to hear, to feel the groaning, is able to bring us up and help us breathe again. The particular depths overwhelming the psalmist are of the depths of all that is wrong about him and all that's wrong about his people and about the world they live in. The wrong dreams, awful choices made, choices that needed to have been made but weren't, wounding others, wounding the self, moral failures, relational failures, spiritual failures, irreversible mistakes, betrayals, little betrayals, and large betrayals. Some committed by others, some committed by ourselves, and some somehow laid upon us by the world at large. The psalmist calls these sins, which we must not lose the courage to call them. And the psalmist seems to know what many of us have come to realize, that over time, the sins, regrets, recriminations, shame pile up like bricks of guilt to be borne as a burden, a long, long burden, till it pushes us down and we're done. But then he remembered something. And it saved him. He remembered that the stack of guilt bricks isn't real. Isn't real, at least, if we live with consciousness of the infinite mercy of God. The psalmist puts it this way, Lord, if you were to mark our iniquities, if you kept track of them and retained them and stacked up all our failures, Lord, who could stand? But you don't, not at all. With you, there is forgiveness. I know that for many people these days, the word forgiveness doesn't really carry much force. And the reason for that is that in our usage, forgiveness really means a shift of mind. It says, all right, apology accepted. It's bygones now. We'll be okay. But in the Bible, both Old Testament and New, the word we translate forgive literally means to let go, to release, to set free. This releasing is not passive in any respect, is not acquiescent at all. This releasing is a passionate act of cutting loose for people who need cutting loose. And it is an awesome thing. Especially if we're conscious, as the psalmist was, of the size of what's at issue. That the weight many of us have been bearing is more than the burden of our own personal sins, failures, betrayals, though God knows that would be more than enough. What we are also bearing is some of the massive burden of our people's betrayals and sins and fury, all mingled in with our own, by which we are harmed and in which we are complicit. To imagine a mercy so vast as to not mark or retain any of that, or to let it have some ultimate power, but instead, with love's great mercy and passion, to release us and set us free. It is a staggering mercy. I haven't seen the show Hamilton, but I've listened to it. If you don't know the show, I hope you'll forgive me for what I'm about to do. And if you're not inclined, well, God doesn't mark my sins. And that's enough for me today. Today, I need to share this. Alexander Hamilton did a terrible thing. He cheated on his wife, Eliza. And soon afterward, when he was publicly accused of doing something that could, if guilty, have cost him his whole life, to put off that accusation, he published a pamphlet for all the world to see, explaining that he could not have committed that crime because he was cheating on his wife. It destroyed her. And not long after, their rash 19-year-old son, caught up in a duel, was shot and died. What follows in the play is mostly offered by the chorus. They're witnessing a husband and wife who have moved now Alexander does offer some broken words, and Eliza is silent. The chorus tells the story of what happened. Here is some of what they say. There are moments that the words don't reach. There's suffering too terrible to name. You hold your child as tight as you can, then push away the unimaginable. And so they move uptown and learn to live with the unimaginable. If you see him in the street walking by himself, talking to himself, have pity. He's working through the unimaginable. His hair has gone gray. He passes every day. They say he walks the length of the city. Can you imagine? If you see him in the street walking by her side, talking by her side, have pity. It's quiet uptown. They are trying to do the unimaginable. They are standing in the garden, standing there side by side. She takes his hand. Forgiveness. Can you imagine? That is the line the chorus repeats with reverence. Forgiveness. Can you imagine? Is there reason we could not extend that gift also to each other? Who has offended you? Hurt you? Disappointed you? God has not counted your sins, neither theirs. Release them. And if you are the burdened one, if in the depths you are under the weight of so much failure, regret, embarrassment, guilt, then hear the good news. By the mercies of God, from the disabling power of all of it, you are released. You're set free. What you're free for is to get up and do better. To give more of the gift within you. To better serve the love of God in the world, because that is what the freedom is for. The world isn't right, and we've got work to do, and we will do it better if we're free. Come next Sunday, we will enter the week of a sharper remembrance of Christ's final suffering and death, and what a massing of sins took him down. Religious leaders plotting to kill him. The state condemning, crucifying, and washing its hands. The people turning on him. One of his own disciples betraying him. The others deserting him. All of that. And if God were to mark them, if God were to mark our own who were there, who could stand? And the one on the cross groaned out of the depths beneath all that. And within this was the groaning of God also, out of the depths, the infinite depths of God's compassion for us all. What some of them heard from the dying man was a prayer. Father, release them. And it happened. It still happens. Forgiveness. Can you imagine? With acceptance of this gift, let us offer gifts of our own. Wide open arms of God's love for us in Christ invites all to this table. Let us then prepare and make ready for ourselves to receive the gift signified here. Will you join in the confession of our sins? Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts, have not loved you, neighbor, as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Dear friends, hear the good news. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. We are forgiven, released to live in newness of life. Thanks be to God. Will you stand? As forgiven and reconciled sinners, we extend our greeting in love to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
God created all things that are, all things that will ever be. And God made us in God's own image. And yet our love failed, and when it did, then we turned away. God sent us His Son Jesus to show us the way, to live before us, to die, and be raised from the dead as sign and gift of new life among us. We have been made the community of light, to live the good news of God's love for us all and every possibility for the transforming of this world. The gift is given, and so we remember that on the night Jesus gave Himself for us, He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Do this in remembrance of me." Of Christ, the bread of heaven. In the same way, after the meal, He took the cup and He gave thanks. He gave it to his disciples and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood for the forgiveness of sins, for you, for many. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Let us pray. For every gift of grace, O God, we thank you. And now make us one in spirit, one in mission to all the world. Make us your faithful community here and everywhere. All honor and glory be to your name forever. May it ever shine through us. Amen. At the doors will be the offering plates that this month, as often happens, are for our church fellowship fund. We try to help people who come our way needing assistance with rent, with some food, with some help paying utilities, with a place to spend the night if they can. Give as you're able to give with a sense of gratitude and freedom of your own. Will you stand now for the hymn of fellowship?
Thank you.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you and give you grace. Grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to give something big for something good. Grace to know that the world is now too dangerous for anything but the truth, and too small for anything but love. Now may Christ take your minds and think through them. May Christ take your lips and speak through them. May Christ take your hearts and set them on fire.